This has been the KBOO Morning News for Wednesday, March 8th, International Women's Day 2006. Weather for today calls for rain with temperatures around 50. There's a winter storm warning in effect today and tomorrow for the Cascades from southern Washington to Eugene. You're listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland and Corvallis at 100.7 FM on translator K264AA in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. You can log on to our website at kboo.fm. Our producer for this morning's newscast is Brian Smith. Our assistant producer is Chris Andre. Our engineer is Bone Reavers. The KBOO Morning News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Martha Odom.
Stay tuned. We're going to have coming up this morning, it's International Women's Day, as we mentioned, with programs about women all day long. At 7:30, Crystal and Arnie discuss news about women and the history of International Women's Day. At 8:30, hear about women shipyard workers in World War II. At 9, the topic is labor and Mexican women, followed by a music break with Gloria and Yvonne. At 11:30, hear a special rebroadcast of an interview with actress and activist Margaret Cho. And be sure to stay tuned for more Women Power programming through the middle of the night. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.
The community calendar for Wednesday, March 8th. Portland Peak Oil will be holding a general meeting tonight from 7 to 8:45 p.m. at the St. Francis Church Dining Hall at 1182 Southeast Pine Street in Portland. This meeting is free and open to the public. Portland Peak Oil is a grassroots group of concerned local citizens from different backgrounds with different interests who've separately become aware of the looming crisis caused by the peaking of world oil supplies. This group works to develop individual and collective strategies to cope with the crisis, create awareness in the Portland community about peak oil, influence policies of local government to help mitigate the crisis, and serve as a community resource as the crisis becomes more severe. For more information, visit the web at portlandpeakoil.org. The Multicultural Center and Women's Resource Center panel will be holding a discussion on race and class in the women's movement on Thursday, March 9th, from 3 to 4:30 p.m. at the Portland State University Smith Center, number 228. Refreshments will be provided, and this event is free and open to the public. For more information, call 503-725-5672. That's 503-725-5672. Tell your story. The City of Portland is collecting stories about women's lives. This is throughout March and will be for a diversity weblog. Interested persons should write a story of an admired Portland woman of no more than 250 words. That deadline is March 31st. For more information, call 503-823-7510, 503-823-7510. The Bureau of Land Management will be hosting public meetings throughout Western Oregon this week and next to talk about the range of alternatives to be analyzed in the soon-to-be-developed environmental impact statement for the Western Oregon Plan revisions. The BLM is asking for public input as the federal agency revises its resource management plans for BLM-managed lands in Oregon and is hosting several public workshops in Western Oregon to discuss the range of alternatives considered in the revisions. These meetings are all open to the public and are from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The next series of meetings are as followed. tonight in Roseburg, March 9th in Grants Pass, March 13th in Salem, March 14th in Klamath Falls. For further information, please visit the web at blm.gov/OR. You've been listening to the Community Calendar for Wednesday, March 8th. This is Alicia Olson for KBOO, listener-sponsored community radio in Portland, Hood River, and Corvallis.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens will no longer gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Come marching, so many women dead. We cry through our city, their ancients call for bread. Our stomachs are empty, but our hearts are hungry too. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. And dear mothers again, no more shall we labor from birth till life closes.
Good morning. Welcome to KBOO Talk Radio on International Women's Day. I'm Crystal from the Bread and Roses Collective, and I'm co-host this morning with Ani, which for me is totally exciting because she's the woman I'd want to be when I grow up, except that I already grew up and it's about 30 years too late. Anyway, I was relating to Ani what International Women's Day means to me, and we decided we wanted to hear from the listeners this morning on this. So we're going to ask you, dear listeners, to call in. You know the number, but I'll say it again, 503-231-8187. Ooh, is that the right number? It is the right number. Yeah, okay, good. I thought it was. And we'd like to hear from you on a personal and or a social or political level on how you relate to a day honoring women worldwide. And what are your personal experiences of International Women's Day? So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this morning. History, cold facts of history or the warm facts of history, and personal experiences. Hi, honey, you're here.
Good morning. There I was, trying to get water when I had no time left. Could I have planned ahead? No. But it's nice to, it's really, really wonderful to have this chance to be with us, be with everyone on this morning on International Women's Day. And Crystal, I'm just delighted that I actually get to, be here with you because I think that's one of the nuggets of International Women's Day is you are here as a volunteer. You're trying to learn new skills, radio skills. You're, you know, really getting your feet wet, and for the last couple of years have just been doing, you know, a lot of interesting programs, and yet, you know, you want to do more, branch out. You've never done talk radio and that sort of thing, and so,
right.
I love the idea of women teaching women new skills.
Yes.
And I think that is one of the nexus points of women's empowerment. You know, that mm-hmm. is one of the things that I love to focus on International Women's Day is how can we as a community of women support each other, uplift each other, and teach each other new skills to live lives of empowerment.
And, you know, I've noticed that through my volunteer time at KBOO that this really is a wonderful sharing. And, of course, with the Burn Roses Collective, we have engineers with these incredible powers, just like M does on the board now. And, you know, slowly but surely I'm trying to learn some of them, and it's been great fun.
Excellent. I think it's really, well, it is fun learning how to create, and learning how to create in a medium like radio where we can actually touch and affect so many folks. So right now we're giving you a chance actually to also create radio by calling in 503-231-8187. Again, with your ideas, thoughts, and reflections on this day honoring women around the world. There were celebrations and are celebrations ongoingly throughout the world, in New Zealand, in Australia, of course, throughout Europe, throughout Asia, throughout South America. Yes, it's a global phenomenon, International Women's Day. And I like to always take a moment and reflect on just amazing women who have shaped and shifted so much of the world. And give honor to those women, whether they're still with us in body or not. The legacy goes on, the struggle goes on, and the love goes on. So that's another thing I would love to hear from our listeners this morning, are women that have influenced you and impacted you, either, you know, folks you've known or folks you've read the work of or seen. You know, I always like to see what really inspires folks. It's the organizer in me, you know.
Well, I could jump in with mine. I mean, I'm in my 60s now, but back in 65 when I first discovered Betty Friedan. Oh, there was someone who was speaking to me who was giving voice to the thoughts that I had, but in the somewhat muddled way. And so she was a great inspiration to me. Yeah,
very cool. I, one of the, I guess, early women heroes of mine has been, we were just talking about her before we went on the air, Bodica. In fact, my very first radio show, back to radio, was called Bodica's Revolt. And it was, you know, sort of this interesting blend of English rebel music and girl punk. Because, you know, I thought they had a lot in common. I don't know if any listener did, but I thought they had a lot in common. And Bodica, for folks that aren't so familiar, was a woman, lived in the first century in Britain, and actually helped to repel the Roman colonization for a couple of years. Prior to, well, eventual defeat at the hands of the Romans. And you know what happens after that. England and the rest of the Celtic Isles are colonized by the Romans. Rather nasty business, really.
Boy, but she was one of the real Northern European heroines that we know about.
Indeed. I always figured if I could have, like, the magic time machine, if there was ever, like, one spot in history I was granted to, like, go here, check this out, that would be mine. I would really want to check out the Iceni, check out, well, the Britons, the Celts, you know, my ancestors, and get to know the ways before patriarchy. You know, it was really one of the last sort of matriarchal, matrifocal peoples in Europe. So, you know, we held out longer than many.
Yes, we did. Yeah, I had a real opportunity, many, many years ago, to go and see some of the ancient Paleolithic sites in England. And, boy, the energy there was so strong. I'm thinking of Avebury, the Standing Stones.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and so many other, wells and sacred waters once known as Bodica and others. I'm wondering, we're getting a signal in here. Could we have a...
We do, in fact, have a caller.
Great.
Well, let's go ahead. Hello, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, when's International Men's Day?
That's the other 364 days a year.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's quite an attitude, huh?
Yeah, it's the one I'm copping this morning. So I do welcome your thoughts and ideas on honoring women.
So, well, I honor my wife. She's a wonderful woman, stays home.
Excellent.
And raises my four daughters.
That's
and
sweet.
And she's very fulfilled in what she does because she's doing what God has intended her to do.
Well, there you go.
So and everyone's happy.
Near as I can figure, it does take
all kinds. Are you happy? Are you happy? Do you feel fulfilled?
I'm actually really happy.
Because you seem a little angry. You always seem angry.
No, in fact, this is a day of celebration.
Yeah, gee, I didn't hear any angry tones there, but...
No.
But you always seem angry, especially on Friday mornings.
Well, you know, sometimes when I look at the world, I get angry about the injustices I see.
What kind of injustice?
Those would be economic injustices. Those would be injustices of colonization. Those would be injustices
of
oppression.
What economic justice? Do you feel injustice economically?
I believe that there is, in fact, a lot of economic injustice.
Do you feel injustice economically?
Sure.
Why?
You know, we are talking about honoring women, and we're talking about celebrating women this morning. I thank you very much for your call. Actually, I love my job. I'm so privileged to absolutely be in love with my job and the rest of my life.
You make a lot of money?
No, I don't. I live simply.
Why
and
not?
Today, I'm celebrating women, so bye-bye. We say bye-bye. And, you know, I feel like that little Monty Python skit, you know, where you, like the argument clinic, you know, would you like a contradiction or an argument? Other days I'll play that, because I think that can be kind of fun and, well, fulfilling, to use his word, sometimes.
Yeah, just
But today that's going to leave me kind of flat, because celebrating women is a whole lot more fun. So you were going to say something, Crystal,
well,
and then we'll talk
about
another caller?
Sure, there's a serious side of this, if he'd like to hear it, but I don't think he really does. But I was thinking about how International Women's Day has had different themes on different years, and, you know, working to eradicate female genital mutilation in many parts of the world is one of the strong themes. Now, I think we can celebrate the eradication of it, but it's not eradicated yet. And, you know, that's just one example.
Absolutely. There are, you know, many examples of how, in fact, injustices continue to occur. And we have to, you know, we have to be aware of them. We have to take action about them. And again, I'm just going to get back to it. We have to celebrate.
Yes, we do.
Because that's the thing that makes it sustainable.
It does. That's the word, sustainable. Celebration sustains us.
That's absolutely right. Because, in fact, it's right up there with the song Bread and Roses, isn't it? Let's go ahead and take a caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, congratulations on this day.
Oh, thank you.
And the same to you.
Thank you. I think that maybe we're too gentle in our approach, and that the time has passed for gentleness. And all I have to say is happiness is a warm gun.
Well, there you go.
We honor diversity, hey?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, women are raped, women are mutilated, women are stalked, women are preyed upon.
It's
women
true.
And a gun kind of equals the playing field. And you know, I like my gun.
I know a lot of women do feel that way. And, you know, I say it's really, to me personally, I think it's a really sad state of affairs when to feel safe in our communities, we feel we need to take to arms. And I absolutely understand that as a need, as a right to assert your safety because of the incredible amount of violence that women do continue to, be victim of. And, again, solidarity and sisterhood, and we need to figure out a way to stop domestic violence. We need to figure out a way, to stop violence against women, period.
Yes.
More than the individual solution.
Yes. But, if I could get a gun to every woman on the planet, I would.
I'm not sure that would actually fix it. I really don't know.
I don't think that would
It kind of reminds me of the old, there was the SCA, the Society for Creative Anachronisms. I played with them a lot when I was a teenager because I was a real medievalist.
Yeah.
And they used to have this bumper sticker that said, an armed society is a polite society. And it kind of bothered me then, and I think it still bothers me, because I think I'm looking for community. And I'm looking for the safety that community brings. And I'm looking for brothers to deal with their brothers that are violent.
I agree. In fact, I call upon men to join in great number and show their support of women and their willingness to truly protect women. That's what a man is. And a good woman will also protect her man. But
right
we really need men to turn their attention upon themselves in great numbers and ask what's going on. I mean, when the number one cause of death for black women in this country is HIV, women under the ages of 35 are dying from HIV through betrayal by their partners and all sorts of things, and there's no attention to it. Where's the love? And so women, take care of yourselves and be ready to shoot if you have to, and we got to keep on keeping on because we don't mean any harm, but if we have to, we'll do it.
What I'm hearing you say is self-defense is sometimes a necessity.
Yes, that's right.
I thank you very much for your call this morning.
Thank you.
And
is there another caller up? I wasn't sure.
Yes.
Okay, good morning, caller.
Oh, you're going to need to turn down your radio.
Yeah, good morning. Are we okay?
Good morning, yep.
Yeah, good morning. In a way, it is a little bit of a sad commentary that last caller feels that way, but I understand her completely. And actually, what I'm looking towards women for is I would really hope, to get somehow we need to get more women in politics to get away from this, this culture of gun culture and violence culture. And my hope is that in the next few years, we just need to see more women in politics. And one comment to the first gentleman who called, if he has any doubts about the injustice in the world out there, I'd really invite him to swing by Powell's bookstore and take a look at a photography book called Unembedded in Iraq.
Ah, yes.
Just flip through those pages and see how he feels about injustice and what we're doing over there. I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, that was very refreshing.
I guess I have one comment about first of all, Unembedded is an excellent, excellent book. Can't recommend it highly enough. In fact, I believe Laughing Horse has it right now over on 37th and Division. Beyond that, I just wanted to, note, in the mid-90s, I was all over the idea of electing women into, positions of influence, getting women into elected representation situations, and thinking how that would just cause this amazing sea change. And, I don't think it does. I think that, and we could talk a lot about why this is. I've got a lot of ideas. But I look at the Bush cabinet. I look at Margaret Thatcher. I look at the president of the Philippines. And this is absolutely fraught with women who have taken on the most right-wing, horrific attitudes, murderous attitudes. Look at Madeleine Albright. A million Iraqi children, we think it's worth it. Helen Caldicott actually had a line where she was very much campaigning in the early and mid-90s about getting more women into politics. And saying how this, in fact, would signify a more cooperative economy where, human needs are prioritized over corporate greed and the military. We would look for more diplomatic solutions, and I was all over it. And she noted, you know, but, you know, don't talk to me about Margaret Thatcher. She just doesn't accept that she's a woman properly.
Yeah.
And at the time I went, yep, one bad apple, what can you do? But, man, the Bush cabinet is blowing me away. And I guess I just know a whole lot of women have decided to identify with the oppressor.
Yeah, I think that's true. And that's the way it is right now in this point in history.
Yeah.
We've got some callers, so I guess we should go on. Hello, caller.
Talk to you. Good morning.
Would that be me?
It is you. You have to turn down your radio.
Oh, I just did.
There you go.
You caught me off guard. And I just wanted to say thank you very much to all the women of KBOO and all the incredibly intelligent, thoughtful, hardworking, and just giving women who show up there every day, year after year, and just deliver the goods. I have a great appreciation for this stage, and I just wanted to say thanks.
Oh, thank you.
So have a great day, and I would also like to say I am tired of hearing from clueless white guys. And so being a white guy, and I just let's just give it a rest for a little bit and let the women talk.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye.
Cheers. And I know we have another caller. 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you want to jump in on the conversation. This is actually an abbreviated special version of Talk Radio for this International Women's Day. We will be here until only 8:30 this morning, and then we will be listening to some programs about women in labor. And it's just going to be a fabulous lineup all day long until 3 o'clock tonight or tomorrow morning, however you want to look at that.
Go instead until 3 a.m. tomorrow.
24 hours of programs by women, about women, for everyone. And good morning. You're on the air.
Well, good morning and happy Women's Day.
Oh, hello, LJ.
How you been?
I've been okay.
Okay, fabulous. Arnie Haynes, shame, shame, shame on you.
Oh, what have I done?
Oh, Arnie Haynes, you know that the only way women can really be fulfilled is to be barefoot, pregnant, have at least one or two babies at the breast at the same time. And darn it, Arnie Haynes, get the laundry right.
Oh. Not the laundry, LJ.
Because if you don't fold your shorts correctly, he's liable to get very upset.
Maybe
that's the cause of all this oppression.
He's been chafed.
Arnie, what a role model this guy is for his daughters.
Oh, well, you know.
Gag me with a chainsaw.
I have to say, in a way, I couldn't have scripted a better adversarial call. Too bad I just was in a more celebratory mood this morning than, taking on, a naysayer, shall we say.
I've got to tell you, I know you. You're a very, very hardworking, if this guy is listening, Ani is a very lovely, hardworking person who gives so much to KBOO. She's the reason it's going, all right? So, Ani, put yourself on the payroll.
Give yourself a raise.
I don't want to pick up the phone. Just remember, sisterhood is powerful.
Indeed.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, brother.
It's true. Every International Women's Day, I remember how powerful sisterhood is. It's really cool. I remember it a lot of the other times a year, too. But,
yeah.
Hey, you know what? It's 8 o'clock in the morning. You're listening to KBOO FM Portland 90.7 on your FM dial if you're in the Portland area. And you might be listening online if you know folks who could listen to us online but might not know about us but might enjoy this special day of programming. You can always tell them to check out the link at kboo.fm and just click on the listen online, do the appropriate 3 or 4 steps, and you too can listen to KBOO anywhere. Good morning to our next caller. You're on the air. Our engineer is stretching. Look at Emily go. And good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
I,
wa-
I want to honor my grandmother, Atoy Louise M. Elk, who helped write the Constitution and bylaws for the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. She was a wonderful woman who died many years ago, but one of the things she told me that I've always held close to my heart is that we were talking about who I was related to one day out in the hills, and she told me that not only was I related to my aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas, but that I was related to everything, that we're all related, even to the plants and animals of the earth. So thank everybody and the Creator for my grandma, because she was the most wonderful woman in the world.
That's awesome.
That's all I had to say. Thank you for International Women's Day. Bye.
Thanks for calling in. And that's great.
I love to hear about the grandmothers.
And good morning to our next caller. You're on the air. Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Good morning. You're on the air?
Good morning. Happy Mamacita's Day.
Hello.
I hope today you guys find a really nice, good boyfriend for yourself.
Ha ha. That's Fabby. Currently not looking, but thanks so much for your suggestion.
Oh, my God. No wonder. No wonder. I knew it. You don't have a boyfriend, and you're not married.
And he fades into the distance.
The magic of radio.
The magic of a fader. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, hello. A few things. My mother and my two grandmothers and my aunt, I want to give honor and respect to them because they, as far as I'm concerned, never had any respect or honor in this country when they were alive. And also, I just wonder, will we be able to prevent, I'm going to say the demons, but anyway, from taking away our choice or right to abortion in this country. And another thing, sisterhood. I don't have any contact with my sisters anymore. What is it to be? I guess people are going to have different ideas. How to be a sister, not only in your own family, but, I mean, to other females. What is that? Did we ever know what that was in this country, to be a sister to other females?
Some people at some time certainly have, and, you know, it's something I strive for.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a show later on this morning, actually, about princesses and bullying. And in part, you know, one of the issues it will be looking at will, you know, be about social aggression in girls. And, you know, why that happens, what goes on that keeps us apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a question in part that show will be addressing. So I know I'm interested in hearing it. I know when I was growing up, you know, it was the girls that were always the meanest, you know, to me.
Mm-hmm.
Always being someone that didn't quite fit in. The girls were much more vicious to me than the boys were.
Oh, yes. I remember that happened in fifth grade. I was friends with everyone until something happened, and I never knew what it was I did, and suddenly felt the girls were not with me anymore.
And it was, you know, it's an odd thing, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's like, who knows what it was that day, you know, but it's sort of a competition and pecking order that really, I think, has a lot to do with the patriarchy, the fact that...
Yeah, but sister, does everybody have a different idea of what it is to be a sister to other women?
Well,
I mean, somebody I was talking to a little bit about it said, first you have to have compassion, but I don't know, is that, you know, having compassion?
Is there a lot more to it?
Yeah, I want to jump in there, because I was raised as an only child, and as it turned out, I had an only child as well, so... didn't have sisters or brothers, and neither did he. But I think, you know, that compassion is that one piece that I certainly had to develop after the wounds from other kids, you know, after the bullies and all of those people. And believe me, it's been a lifetime of working on compassion, but
yeah.
Compassion and enough young women who become mothers knowing what kids really need. I mean, science tells us now that it's the bond between mother and infant that
I think science should be out of it. Science shouldn't have any part in that. This is something that's human and to me shouldn't have anything to do with science. But anyway, I guess until we really address that in this country about how to be assisted to each other, we're going to have the same old problems, and they've embedded like this bullying and meanness from other females. But anyway, I'd like to find out more about, but it's probably never been written about, all these women that were killed as witches or something, whether it was here or in Europe. I guess we'll never know the woman that they killed
There are several good books actually on that. The best one I know of is called Writing the Nightmare, and it was published in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I can no longer
Writing
remember.
The what?
The... Writing the Nightmare.
Well, anyway, I guess it'll never be brought back. It's gone like a lot of female things, history or whatever you want to call it.
Well, there's certainly a broken chain of history, but there's also, excuse me, quite a lot of traditions got pushed underground and were passed on generation to generation. Quite a lot of traditions are being discovered through history and archaeology. Quite a lot of traditions are being unearthed, quite literally. So, yeah, it's definitely a broken tradition. It's definitely interrupted and literally put to the sword. However, I think that you know we are starting to piece together what we had. We've just lost 600 years.
Well, okay, I'll just leave it at that. Thank you for everything, for all everybody.
Thank
for,
you.
Okay,
yeah.
Bye.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make one more comment that a wise woman said once. We may have not know all that happened, but the blood of our ancestors runs in our veins, and somehow, intuitively, we can mm-hmm. remember some things. I know there's a lot of callers waiting, though.
Well, I agree with that, too. And about the sisterhood thing, to me, I know she didn't ask specifically for my definition, but I have a thought on it. And to me, yeah, compassion is essential in that. And I'm working on compassion for all beings. I'm not there yet.
Me neither.
But I'm working on it. To me, sisterhood means, first of all, getting to a place of strength where you can sort of feel compassion for yourself, because that's sort of really key, and it sounds kind of cliche, but without compassion for yourself, you can't really shower it on others.
That's right.
And there's a sort of a connection between compassion and being really able to be in solidarity with and support. And to me, that's what sisterhood is. It means I might not agree with you, but I'm going to support you to the best of my ability as long as I think you're not hurting anyone.
Yeah.
You know, I support you in what you are doing that feels like it is, in fact, causing you joy and leading a fulfilled life, whatever that looks like to you. As long as it's not hurting anyone else, it's my job as your sister to support you and uplift you.
I like that, too.
That's my definition. So, right. Well, let's go ahead. Let's take a
okay.
call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. You have made my day.
Oh.
I did not know it was International Women's Day, and it was going so well, and just, you know what, you're right, and compassion, and I feel bad for the woman who wants a gun, because that's what makes us different, and I think that compassion from us, and there is a sisterhood, and I'm in a sisterhood now. I have, after all these years, been accepted into a trade, which I wanted in 20 years ago, which was just so tough.
Uh-huh.
There's a sisterhood in the trade, and there's a brotherhood. I'm part of the brotherhood and the sisterhood.
Nice.
And it is so beautiful. And I feel sorry for the lady who wants to shoot everybody, because compassion and understanding is really what makes us different from the men, I would hope. Not that men can't. It's right. just a little tougher for them sometimes.
Oh, and I think a lot of that's socialization. Well, little boys are just taught not to feel.
Well, that's right. And I just want to stick up for the other caller. She didn't want to shoot everybody. She
okay.
was just wanting to know that she was ready to do it if she had to.
Right. Yeah, I heard her talk about protection and not like,
sounded so...
Gonna go spray.
It sounded like she had been hurt and I felt bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think that, looking at defense in that kind of way, you know, does show a lot of pain and it does show a lot of fear.
Right.
And, yeah. I my heart really goes out to everyone who's in that kind of pain and that kind of fear. And whatever we need to do to feel safe, you know, we need to do to feel safe, and that's very real.
Right.
But I really hope that, you know, folks heal from pain and fear and all that other stuff that really, I think, tends to keep us locked into our place instead of really into a state of liberation.
Right. And using our head, in my construction trade that I'm in, I'm not definitely built to be bulky and lifting all the things that all the guys can do, but I'm really smart. And so I can use my head and my body and my tools and get done what needs to be done.
Right.
And so, anyway, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate you, and it's a great show.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And do we have another call?
I do believe we do. 503-231-8187 is the number. And we have only 20 minutes left and just a little less. And so, good morning. You're on the air.
Don't hear anything.
There.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Hi, great. Well, I'm sitting outside in the rain, so enjoying International Women's Day in the rain.
That sounds very Portland-esque.
I want to, my idea of Women's Day is offering the support, particularly to women being oppressed right now.
Uh-huh.
And I really want to send out love and compassion to the wife of the first caller. I feel that, you know, a certain bond with her because I was, I'm a very politically active, spiritually motivated individual, and I chose to stay home with my three girls and raise them up.
Uh-huh.
What happened in the end was that the only bad part about the whole thing was my ex-husband, who was very emotionally and psychologically repressive. And so we fought and fought a long battle, me and the girls, with him and trying to maintain some sort of balance and love and compassion in the home. Dealing with that type of anger.
Yeah.
So the whole thing ended 6 or 7 years ago, and with a great divorce and a huge celebration and a cleansing of our home and our land. And now we're back and we're recovering from all of that. And I just want to, yesterday on Amy Goodman's show, A Democracy Now!, there was an Iraqi woman who spoke. And it was so devastating to hear what she had to say because in her voice you could hear that feeling of victimization, of being oppressed, completely, utterly, and obliteratedly oppressed. And she pleaded and she said, please, please stop hurting us.
Yeah.
And that's what we as women in sisterhood have as a stronghold, because without my sisters, my biological sisters, my friends, my neighbors, women came around me and enabled me to actually succeed in actually rebuilding my home. I mean, physically rebuilding it because, well, the abusive husband left in the middle of a huge renovation project in which the toilet was in the kitchen. So,
Oy.
So we are strong, and we can do whatever together.
It's very true.
That's my message for the day, and I appreciate being able to get on KBOO and say that.
Oh, thank you so much for doing it.
I'm so glad you could call in.
Excellent. I'm glad I made it through the busy tone.
Right on. Persistence pays off.
Right
All right.
On.
Have a wonderful International Women's Day.
You too, honey.
Bye-bye. And, look at that, 15 minutes left. Time fleeting this morning, 503-231-8187. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. Thank
good
you
morning.
For taking my call. I wanted to thank all the women for their wonderful grounding energy, reminding us expansive males that we need to take everything into consideration and slow down. And I really think that we could stand to use some more women in the traditional positions of power so that we can understand what the positions really could do for all humanity. And I think women really have a wonderful opportunity here. And International Women's Day is a great way to celebrate it.
Well, cool. Thank you.
And so I also wanted to add that Maya Angelou is someone that we all should read if we need any woman to look up to.
Oh, very nice suggestion.
And so thank you for being here, and happy International Women's Day.
It is my joy to be here. Thank you for calling in. Thanks for celebrating with us. Nice. Let's go ahead and see how many. The phone is just very lively.
Hello.
So,
I got to turn my radio down.
Okay.
Here's someone new. Hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just called to talk about my dearly departed mother.
Uh-huh.
Who would have turned 80 in January had she lived that long. And what a lot of what gets called feminism today, she would have called not taking no for an answer.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
And she was pretty much the strongest woman, one of the strongest people I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. And I kind of think it's up to women to reinforce that to other women, mothers to daughters, sisters to sisters, friends to friends, that you do not have to take no for an answer.
I agree.
That you can just push on and just keep fighting.
I totally agree. I think it is really, and that's also a part of sisterhood, actually. Since that was a question asked earlier, I have had a great joy in helping to co-parent a kid for the last 12 years, and she's 17 now, and, you know,
congratulations.
So I've known her since she was 5, it was my biggest concern, like, from the moment, you know, I realized I was a part of her life and she was a part of mine, that how do I role model strength? You know, how do I role model?
You do it by being strong.
Compassion and strength. Exactly. And that, you know, I had to say, I had to make myself step up to the plate, you know, sometimes when I wasn't so wild about it. And because, in fact, I do think that is my first responsibility, to pass on a sense of empowerment and strength.
Yeah. And a woman as strong as my mother raising a boy, I've never had any doubts about the abilities of women. It never even occurred to me. I used to be young enough to be young and naive enough to be surprised by my fellow males' attitudes towards women.
Right.
And it can be done. Just keep doing it.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
That's what thank you. Yeah, I want to say something about mothering. It really helps to have had a mother like the last caller who was tuned in to her own female strengths and powers. And not all of us had that, so we had to learn it one way or another. But
yeah.
I think that's kind of the lesson. If you had the mother that you deserve, what would that have been like?
Oh, my gosh.
And to...
That's an excellent question. Bell Hooks, actually, a wonderful feminist writer.
Yeah.
In her book, Everyday Feminism, which is like a very small sort of it's a primer, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's like your feminism 101. In the introduction, she writes that her mother was actually possibly the main influence of patriarchy, clipping her wings, of telling her, no, she can't do that. No, remember, you're ladylike. No, remember. And, and how sad it is that here's this person who could be and is your primary role model, and how, you know, how much work she had to do to get through that, sort of legacy.
Yes,
and that's the common legacy. You know, it's I think Alice Moeller would talk about it being sort of a transference of aggression. You know, passing on that which was done to you because that's what you know.
That's what you know exactly. Until you can learn other.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also another reason is you're taught at great pain that this is, in fact, you only get success. You only get the husband. You only get, whatever it is that makes you a good woman by repressing yourself, by behaving in those ways. And, you know, every mom wants their kid to be successful.
Right.
So it's just what you got to do. No one likes it. You know, but it's just what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad. That's really sad.
It's very sad. It's very sad. I see we have two more callers, so I...
Ah, we hasten on.
We hasten on.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
Good
are
morning.
You there?
Yes. And so are you.
Yeah. I have a large family, and my wife and I, we got into a big fight years ago. And, I was being all bullheaded and so forth, and, you know, I was basically telling her that, you know, I wear the pants in this family, I'm in charge, and she took and went in the bedroom and got a pair of her pants and said, here, put these on, and I says, I can't get into these, and she said, that's right, always remember that.
Oh, boy.
That's hilarious. All right, onwards and upwards.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to take an opportunity to call attention to an upcoming opportunity to honor a woman of peace and courage.
Excellent.
And her name was Rachel Curry.
Oh, yes.
And as some of our listeners may know, she was murdered by the Israeli army while trying to prevent the demolition of a Palestinian home.
Yes.
She died 3 years ago on March 16th. It'll be 3 years ago.
Yes.
Last year, there was a play based on her works and thoughts in London, and it was brought to New York, and it was due to open on March 22nd. Last week, it was announced that the play was going to be not going to be shown due to a polling of Jewish religious and community leaders in New York. And there is now a worldwide action to bring about an event on March 16th, and I would encourage KABU listeners, if they'd like to get involved and respond to this, what I consider political censorship. I can't even say that word. Censor. Well, censoring the play. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the contact is Rachel's Word, RachelsWords, at yahoo.com. And they're organizing... events throughout the world in which her words will be shared, her thoughts when she was in Palestine and what she observed. And,
thank you so much for calling in with that information this morning.
Okay, thank you.
She is an amazingly courageous young woman.
And if anyone...
And yes, definitely
and,
a hero.
And peaceful, and peaceful.
Yes.
And she was killed violently, and that needs to be honored.
Yes.
Yes.
In fact, she put her body in front of a bulldozer, and the bulldozer, with full knowledge that they were doing it, because really, it can't be any other way. It just can't be, ran her over. In fact, not once, but I believe it was either two or three times.
Caterpillar was the bulldozer, right?
Yeah. In fact, it was a caterpillar.
Yeah, in fact, they put the blade down, and they ran that over her. There are pictures available. What I don't know if Americans know this, but our government has yet to even take depositions of the people who are eyewitnesses.
Right.
We have taken no action against this American citizen murdered.
Absolutely true. Thank you so much for calling with your reminder of Rachel Curry.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
We have just a few minutes. And so, if you call in now, we might be able to squeeze you in, but it would have to be fast. So, you know, I'm so glad that our last caller did mention Rachel Curry, because really, when it comes right down to it, I think that the strongest act of sisterhood is that which is solidarity, just putting yourself, your heart, your spirit, your body, in the path of injustice and saying, no, we are uplifting each other, we are supporting each other, and together we are a lot stronger than any oppressive force.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's really the nexus to me of celebrating our common bonds and in taking this one day a year to look at women internationally, what we've done, what we've accomplished, what we've gone through, sharing our history and our culture, because, you know, that international connection allows us to be stronger. And to that end, I'm really excited that I believe it is at 9 o'clock. We have a couple of interviews with leading Mexican journalists, women Mexican journalists, and that will be a bilingual show. And we have, again, international offerings all day long. There is a special panel discussion that's multicultural and intergenerational that's happening at noon. We're looking at women from as many perspectives as we could possibly gather together in this 24-hour period. So good morning to our last caller. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Ah, good morning, dear.
Good morning, Annie and Crystal.
Good morning.
I'd like to dedicate this International Women's Day to my mother, who passed away 3 months ago. But I also would like to honor Laura Burke and Cindy Sheehan, I think, who are the two women that are starting a movement that I would embrace, and that's for all of us to try and save the world by speaking out like they did. You know, Laura Burke, who wrote an editorial in a newspaper.
Right,
Speaking out.
And Cindy Sheehan has gone to jail for her beliefs a couple of times, yes.
And Laura Burke was fired for writing this article in the newspaper. So those are my newest heroes, I would say.
And your mother's name? What
my mother's name was Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I grieve for her every day. And I'm from the Netherlands, so I wasn't with her a whole lot. I tried, but it wasn't.
Sure.
But I could always call her. And she always had a story to tell and always, tried to lift her own spirits. But she was incredibly lonesome, lonely, and the last few years of her life. And that's what I regret, that I couldn't help her with that more.
Right.
That's my remorse, that I didn't stay with her longer when I was there, that I didn't stay longer with her. At times, so I like to, you know, honor my mother. She was also incredibly strong, and was divorced, for instance, in an era where there was no support for women, much support for women. So I think that's where part of her loneliness started. And so anyway, it's a beautiful day for International Women's Day.
It is. It is.
Thank you for calling.
All right. All right.
Thank you for telling us of Elizabeth, a pioneer in her times.
Oh, yeah. A working mother. That was also one of the things.
Yeah.
You know, she walked to the bus at 5:30 in the morning to start at 7 at the University of Amsterdam and came home at 5:30 at night and with a hard days of work behind her, and then had to start her motherhood, her parenting, anyway.
Well, thank you for calling in.
All right.
We appreciate it.
All
right.
Have a good day.
Thanks so much.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. A caller, I just got past a note. We got 1 minute left, and I'm trying to, interpret, and B, try to answer the question. So the caller wants me to clarify, but the voice of God, no one else can hear. M. Okay, so it sounds like the caller wants to clarify what government has done nothing death of Rachel Corrie. I believe was what that caller was letting us know.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
And basically, the thumbnail sketch of that. Is she was a witness for peace and against genocide in occupied Palestine. There were settlements being bulldozed or houses being bulldozed. She was ran over repeatedly by an Israeli soldier driving.